The views and opinions expressed on this show are those of the sponsor, Olive Branch Pet Hospital, and Play and Stay Boarding and Daycare.
News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable. Good morning. This is Rock and Roll Pep Talk, Pensacola's expert panel with Meg, 850-437-1620. And actually, it's Pet Talk with Dr. Mark, and he's a Creed fan, so he wanted to hear this little tune this morning. Good morning, Doc.
Hey, good morning. Good morning. Creed is on their way back, folks.
That's what you said.
Get out and see them. They're fantastic.
And you have a friend, you said, that's with the band? Is that right?
The lead singer's parents I've known in the past, and when I lived in Orlando. They're just super people.
That is so cool.
They've all been through a lot of problems, and you know, as bands do, and now they're back, and then better than ever.
I love it. Well, we're talking with Dr. Mark Sprayberry with Olive Branch Pet Hospital and Play and Stay Boarding and Daycare. With him is Ann Sharpston, and Mac is here. Ooh, hang on.
Mac is in the house.
And Mac is in the house, panting away. He's loving the show already.
That's right.
So, Dr. Sprayberry, tell us a little bit about your practice, how long you've been around, in case somebody doesn't know you, or maybe they just got a new pet and they need to find a place to go.
Yeah, thanks, Meg. I'm Mark Sprayberry. I'm originally from Mississippi. I've been a veterinarian. I'm a pharmacist of University of Mississippi, Ole Miss, Hotty Toddy, and then years later, I decided to go to veterinary school, which I'd kind of always wanted to do in the first place. And I've been a veterinarian for 30 years. I've owned the practice in town for 24 years now.
Wow.
And we're down on Davis Highway across from Bailey's Farmers Market, 4220 North Davis. Phone number 850-477-2901. We are a general practice, but we seem to do a lot of consults on very difficult cases. We tend to do a lot of cancer work. But we do everything as well. And with me is Dr. Stephanie Kairos, who also has about 30, 31 years experience. She's owned two clinics in Atlanta and then found the love of her life, moved down to Pensacola, got married, and we're so thankful to have her.
Wow, so together 50-plus years of experience, you can't, right. I mean, that can't be even evaluated. I mean, that's just amazing.
Well, you know, the first 10 years are the hardest.
That's what they say.
I used to say that, but now I think, you know, we see some crazy stuff coming in there.
Mm-hmm.
But we love what we do, and we love pets. I privately own my clinic. It's paid for. I'm not a corporately owned practice. We're, you know, with sometimes you lose a little bit of personal touch with those type practices. I was a pharmacist for a corporation, so I understand. And I've worked for a veterinary practice part-time for a corporate practice when I was in Orlando.
Mm-hmm.
So it's just a little different feel.
And so, it's dogs, cats?
Yeah, dogs and cats is what we try to concentrate on.
Okay. So now there's so many, I'm seeing so many posts now of strays and animals that are lost. Or even this morning we had a report of two golden retrievers on I-110 on-ramp or off-ramp or something. So we're always hearing about that. And then people are always like, well, I need to determine the rescue, or I need to take them to a vet. Microchipping. Mm-hmm. This is what people have got to start doing.
Super important, Meg.
So please talk about that.
Well, you know, we live in Florida, and you know, the Sunshine State also has a lot of storms, hurricanes. You know, we have it all here. And after Hurricane Ivan and the other hurricanes, we would get one or two pets a day into my office. And I'm sure all of my other colleagues in town had the same thing. People find pets, they're trying to do the Good Samaritan thing, and they bring it in. And we all have universal scanners, and what you do is you just scan the dog. It'll bring up a number if there is a chip, and then you go online, you find the chip, it'll tell you who the pet belongs to, and you can call the person. But sometimes people change addresses, Meg, and they just, you know, they don't update it. They got a lot of stuff going on. I understand. But as a secondary contact, you always need to leave your veterinarian's address and phone number.
Good idea. Yeah, because I didn't even think about that.
Yeah, because chances are, you know, the clinic's always going to be there.
Right.
And, you know, we know everybody that comes in the door. You know, we know the pet probably before we know the owner.
I can see you know that for sure. I do that at the dog park.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. So it's very important if you change addresses or anything. You know, unfortunately, if you get divorced or anything where anything changes in your personal life, it's always a good idea just to double check that. And it's pretty easy to do online. Now, I want to tell you about the folks out there about one thing. There was a company called, Save This Life Microchips, which everybody used. And all of a sudden, they just decided they weren't going to be in business anymore.
Oh, no.
And so they shut down their computers and all that. So people that were microchipped with this, there was no way if somebody found the pet, there was no way to find out who it belonged to.
Oh, that's terrible.
So this company called PetLink is who we're recommending now. You can go in and register your pet with that company. They do also make microchips, too, if your pet's not microchipped.
Mm-hmm.
And PetLink is the one that we use, I believe, now. There are several out there.
So if I had my dog and I got a microchip several years ago, mm-hmm. I promise you I would not remember the manufacturer of the microchip, but I could bring it to you and you could scan it and then tell me.
Well, it'll tell you the number. And mm-hmm. then when you put the number in the computer, then it'll tell you what company it is and you can contact the company. And then they have their protocols about how to get a hold of the owner.
Mm-hmm.
For instance, one of my neighbors, her little golden doodle got out and I knew it was probably this owner. So, but I went to the office, got my scanner, scanned the dog, called the company and said, well, no, we can't give you her number. Although I already had her number, but I thought that was what right. It was. You know, it was my neighbor. And said, we'll contact her. And then, you know, 30 minutes later or 20 minutes later, I get a phone call. And
mm-hmm.
So that's it's easy to do. And it's so important, especially living here on the coast.
Mm-hmm. No, it makes perfect sense. Mm-hmm. So what is the process? Does it hurt? Does the dog have to be put under? Or do you have a little bit of the price range? Because mm-hmm. someone may not even understand. What is it exactly?
Well, it's a small little metal chip that is inserted with it's like getting a shot.
Mm-hmm.
The needles are a little big, but they're very, very sharp. So as many as I've done, I can do one in 3 seconds,
oh,
five
gosh,
seconds.
Okay.
It may sting a tiny bit, but most dogs tolerate this real well. They have a higher threshold of pain than we do, so they're not going to feel the pain we would feel like we would. So it's very simple to do. It's instantaneous. You check the chip as soon as you put it in, and then all you have to do is register it. And I believe my staff registered the pet for you.
That's nice.
Once you do it. And I think we charge around $50. It may be 30, 40, 50, 60, 70, depending on mm-hmm. where you go and what chip it is. Different companies charge different amounts. But I think our price is around $50. I may be off a few dollars, but it's around that.
No, that's very reasonable and worth it because mm-hmm. they last a lifetime.
Yes.
And so that's the key.
Yes.
But you got to update them.
Yeah. Yes.
Which I didn't.
The information.
Which I didn't do, I don't think. But.
Yeah, that's the most important part, Meg.
No, I'm just in here guilty as charged. So tell me some of the other things you're seeing now this time of year, springtime, things that that pet owners can do that are preventative, maybe help them get through the allergy season. There's so many factors going on, but you're seeing it every day.
I do. I think every veterinarian in Florida sees that we are number one in the country for allergies.
Are we really?
Yeah, I went to that University of Florida, and that's where a lot of this is studied.
Mm-hmm.
A really good friend of mine, Dr. Rob Schick, is a boarded dermatologist, veterinary dermatologist here in town. And so for some of the really difficult, crazy cases, obviously, I dumped those on Rob.
Oh, no.
But they're not easily treated, but there's a lot of treatment for it. You can try antihistamines like Zyrtec, Claritin, Benadryl. They work in about 30% of the cases. And then if that doesn't work, then, you know, you got to make sure you use good flea control. There's three things. It's fleas, food allergies, and grasses, pollen, tree.
So with the Benadryl, Zyrtec, that kind of thing, shouldn't you get the recommended dose from your
yes.
veterinarian? Because
yes.
I would be afraid of going to the store buying the human dose, and
correct.
That may not be good.
Great. Well, one thing I like my listeners to remember is Benadryl, the dose is a milligram per pound. So if they get out and get stung by a bunch of bees or ants or something like that, go ahead and pop a dose of that. It comes in 25 milligram tablets and capsules. So for a 25-pound dog, it would be one tablet.
That would be safe. Okay.
Yeah, 12-pound, it'd be a half a tablet.
Mm-hmm. Okay, that makes sense. That's an easy thing to remember. Mm-hmm. We're talking with Dr. Mark Sprayberry. This is Pet Talk with Dr. Mark. So this is your opportunity to ask questions. Send them in, 850-437-1620. Okay, so let's see. I have a quick question for you.
Okay.
So I need some advice from the doctor. A very good friend of mine has three rescue kittens that are now getting older and ready to be neutered and get their shots. They are a low-income family, don't have a lot of money. Any recommendations for a place to have this done that is financially reasonable?
Yes, I believe the Humane Society has gone back to spay and neuter. They took a little break for a while, mm-hmm. but they do a really good job.
And there is a new clinic that's opening up with A Hope Rescue. It's a spay and neuter clinic. They were hoping to open in, I think, in April. They're just a few weeks away, so keep your eye out for that one, too.
Correct. I think that's a great place to do it. And they'll check the kittens for AIDS and leukemia, which you really have to do. That's two very devastating diseases that are bloodborne. And it's easily
checked. See, I never thought of a cat having issues with those two diseases.
Yeah, yes.
Oh, my goodness.
They can be really bad. AIDS is really spread by bite wounds, fighting, mm-hmm. that type thing. Leukemia, they can get from the mother, and they can AIDS as well, but leukemia is more from, it can be at birth through the placenta, the blood. It's also from sharing food dishes and grooming behaviors. So one thing out there, guys, you know, if you're doing the Good Samaritan on a lot of these stray cats we're having, we got a ton of them on Davis Highway.
I heard it was
Highway.
Kitten season right now.
Oh, it is, spring and fall, and do not... If you want to feed a cat, that's fine, but do not let your personal cat eat out of the same bowl. In fact, don't let the little cat into your home.
Really?
Because if they have AIDS and leukemia and they're spreading it around in the saliva,
oh gosh,
or they get in a fight with a cat, that's not something. And unfortunately, I see three or four cases of that a year where the owner's pet gets the disease.
Oh, no. Yes. And the person's trying to do the right thing by feeding
Correct.
The animal or letting them
Correct.
Get in out of the rain, that kind of thing.
Yeah.
So keep them separate from your own pets.
Yes, yes,
okay.
Please, please, please. And most of these pets just want a home, want to be loved like all of us. So do the right thing. Get them to the veterinarian and let them check it over before you introduce them to the family.
Okay, here's a great question. I relate to this question. And thank you for that previous text. I will text you that information. This new question, any ideas on how I can stop my miniature dachshund from paw-licking? That's a loaded question, because that's one of a big issue with my dogs.
You know, Meg, if I had the absolute answer to that... I'd be going after Joe Rogan's job right now. You know what I'm saying? My boy Joe, you know.
Pet Talk with Dr. Mark would be a national syndicated show
exactly.
if you come up with a solution for this one.
Well, that goes back to, you know, the three things, fleas, food, and pollen. The pollen, the best treatment for that is a couple things you can do at home. Rinse their feet off at the end of the day. That rinses some of the pollen off.
Oh, that's
right?
Kind of, yeah. Hello.
If they have a secondary infection, you're going to have to treat that as well. But there is a injection called Cytopoint that you can give. It lasts 30 days. It's very, very safe.
Mm-hmm.
And that really helps take some of the chewing and licking and allergies cause, you know, pollen causes them to chew and lick. And it really takes down the symptoms of allergies mm-hmm. is what it does. It doesn't cure it, but it takes down the symptoms by tempering the immune system is what I say.
It doesn't itch so much that they feel compelled to chew their paws off.
Mm-hmm. There are a couple of tablets that do Apoquel and Cerilia that do the same thing, but they work a little bit differently. But you have to be very careful with that if the pet's ever had cancer or has a history or a line, pet line, like a lot of German dogs are very prone to cancer. You got to be very careful using those products because mm-hmm. they can make little cancers come back.
Oh, that's not good.
And I've seen cases that, because we do a lot of cancer.
Okay. All right. So again, any other tips on handling that?
Okay. Well, I think seeing if they're chewing their feet raw and you're not sleeping at night, then you really need to take them in to see your veterinarian, because there's multiple. You got to figure out what the problem is. Mm-hmm. Like with food allergies, 67% of pets with food allergies is chicken, beef, wheat, and milk.
Which shocks me, because it seems like all of the dog foods are chicken and beef.
They are.
So, and that's
well, it's an easily sourced protein, Megan. Right. That's why they do. So some of the food, what you can do is it's limited ingredients, like salmon, venison, kangaroo, fish, those type things. And those are usually prescription products from the
veterinarian.
Kangaroo, yeah.
That's interesting. I've never heard that before.
Well, it's protein that's not in normal food.
Mm-hmm. You know, well, no.
Obviously, that's...
So, I mean, we're not in Australia, so... Yeah,
I know. So it's obviously sourced from another country.
I was going to say.
Yeah. And so flea allergy, usually the symptoms is they're itching on the top of their butt or everywhere, and you see the fleas running around. Food allergies are usually persistent ear infections, but they can have itchy booties too.
Mm-hmm.
One of my little vet students that come from Florida or Auburn, they come down and spend a few days with me, and they say, "Oh, doc, it's not just the ears now; it's their booty holes. That's too." And I say, "Okay, well, I learned something today. After 30 years, yeah, I'm still learning. You know, 30 years." And then the third thing is grasses, pollen, trees, and we are number one in the country. We're kind of coming out of it a little bit right now, Meg. I'm not doing as many cytopoint injections right now, so I think as it gets hotter, it gets into June, the pollen calms down. I think we're going to get a little bit of a reprieve from it. But just washing their feet off daily, or their undercarriage, because a lot of dogs, you know, they're low riders like your Dachshunds and stuff, and all that pollen grass contacts them.
Okay. And then also the other area that I know is the right at the top of their, like the tail end, they get that bald spot where they start, like they'll crawl on the ground, rubbing their butt. Mm-hmm. What causes that bald spot? Is that also allergies?
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Generally, yes. And it can be from fleas, but it's also from them, you know, if your grass is tall, you hadn't mowed it, that kind of thing.
Okay. Too. We're talking with Dr. Mark Sprayberry, and he is the host here of our new show, Pet Talk with Dr. Mark, with Olive Branch Pet Hospital and Play and Stay Boarding and Daycare. If you've got a question for him, as you can see, nothing's off limits here about your pet or your animal, 850-437-1620. So, Dr. Mark, you were telling me about a book that you heard about.
A special friend of mine, her name is Heather Anderson. She's a Florida girl. She's lived mostly in Pensacola all of her life.
Mm-hmm.
She's a pharmacist at the Naval Hospital, kind of from a military family, has written a book called Finn Finds Confidence. And it's about a little dog that was a little different and was unsure how his friends and little siblings would think of him. And so he got kind of down on himself about it. And then they came back and said, hey, we don't, you know. His friend said,
"Oh, I guess Mac liked the book." Yeah, Mac
howled. I think Mac might have read it.
Yeah, oh he's one to chime in.
And I said, "Oh," and then Mac went, "Arr."
Exactly.
And okay, so, then Mac.
But it's a wonderful book. It's a great kid. It's for kids as well as us big kids too. It's an easy read, but mainly for kids. And they have a little toy you can purchase it. That's Finn, the little dog.
Mm-hmm.
You can get it on Amazon. I think the paperback's like $12.99. The hardback's like $19.99, $20. If you want the little toy, I think it's $20 or something. But I think it's a wonderful book. I've got some in my office.
Oh, cool.
And I think it's a great thing for kids. It just teaches us all that, you know, we're all a little different. We kind of got to be a little tolerant. And I think this day and age, maybe that's something we need to.
Well, love and tolerance goes a long way.
That's what it's all about, Meg. Mm-hmm. And, you know, if you think about it, our pets do that to us unconditionally.
Absolutely.
Yeah. Somebody's always told me if anybody deserved to go to heaven, it's our pets.
Oh, no question. In fact, I think they're at the pearly gates deciding whether we come in or not.
100%.
Okay, so this book, though, I want to make sure, how do you spell Finn? Is it?
It's F-I-N-N.
F-I-N, okay.
Which is one of my pet's names, which I
really
thought was interesting, but this is not about my pet.
Okay. I haven't read the book. Does Finn get his confidence back?
Yeah, he does.
Oh, good.
And
I don't want to ruin the story, but I feel better knowing that.
Yeah. It's a quick read, and I think it would be great for kids. It's great for presents if grandparents want to get them a little something, a little happy on the side, or the parents do. It's a great book, and it's on Amazon and a couple of other avenues where you can get it. But Heather Anderson, she's awesome. She's got some follow-up books coming.
Excellent. Okay, well, I'm going to definitely have to pick that one up. That sounds like a great read, great for kids. Yeah. Okay, we've got another question for you. Oh, okay, we're going to change the subject now. We're back to pets.
All right, groovy.
This is a listener that says they now have a new golden doodle puppy with big floppy ears.
Awesome.
How do we prevent yeast ear infections in ears like this? Big floppy ears, apparently.
Well, that is an excellent question. And whereas this is the dog I usually recommend for families, especially
Goldens,
Labradoodles, Golden mm-hmm. Doodles. And there's other variations. They're just wonderful, great pets. You can dress them up. The little girls can dress them up with their little clothes, or the boys can play football with them. They're rough and tough. You know, it's that kind of thing.
Their temperaments are so good.
They are, and they're well behaved. They're easy to train. The problem is the doodle part of the dog's heritage. There's a lot of hair that grows in the ear.
Okay? Oh, okay.
And when you get all that hair in there, what happens is it helps prevent the necessary ventilation the ear needs. Now, the ear's a floppy ear too, so it doesn't get the ventilation that way. But then you put a bunch of hair down in there, so your veterinarian will have a little cleaner that you can put in there once a week. Now, if they swim, this is a whole nother conversation, but there's a little cleaner you can put in there. We call it T8 Keto. There are different flavors of it, but it kills a little bit of yeast. It's not something I would use to solely treat a bad infection, but it's something we recommend to use once a week. And your veterinarian will have something like that they want you to use. But periodically, it's a good idea to pluck that hair out of the ears. Now, the American College of Veterinary Dermatologists do not recommend plucking the ear hair every time you have them groomed, only when it gets to a point where they're having ventilation issues and maybe recurrent ear infections. Because when you pull hair, it actually microscopically tears the ear canal, just the skin, and there's bacteria and yeast that live in there normally. And when you tear that may set up a chance for a little infection.
Could you trim it or cut it with small scissors rather than plucking it?
Yes, but it'll eventually get to where it's a plug in there.
Oh,
you have to pull it out.
I see.
Now, your veterinary staff, I have awesome staff, and the ladies there, and the gentleman who balances this all out, they can go in there with a pair of hemostats and get that out. And it only takes about 5 minutes. So most veterinary offices are going to do it. Of course, groomers are great at it too. I don't recommend removing it all the time. It can make them a little head shy or a little ear shy too, especially early on. So that's what you can do. And if you bathe them, also obviously put some cotton or paper towel or something down the ears to prevent water getting in the ear.
Oh, that's good advice. I never thought of that.
But you know, these dogs are big swimmers.
Right.
So if they're swimming, you need to put a little something down in there at the end of the day just to kind of help dry that water out.
Oh, okay.
But your veterinarian will have a good recommendation for that. There's a lot of different ones. The one I have is T8 Keto. It has Trizidda, which kind of helps with the bacteria, and then the ketoconazole is an antifungal.
Okay, that was a great question.
Yes.
We're listening to Pet Talk with Dr. Mark. We've got about a minute left. Was there anything else you'd like to mention this morning?
Well, I just want to say thanks to everyone who chimes in. I really appreciate the support. This is something I've kind of always wanted to do. And
got a great radio voice.
And do I? Yeah.
And whatever.
And
Joe Rogan, you got a great radio voice.
Exactly. You know, I know it. Yeah. I was married to a girl from Orlando for 36 years. You know, God rest her soul. And I lost my Southern accent living down there. And then as my family passed away, I decided to move closer to Mississippi. I have a sister who lives in Jackson, Mississippi. And so since I'm back here, I've got this.
It's come back.
Southern
it's
bank.
There. Yeah,
oh, is it?
Oh, yeah, sweetie, it's there. Not bad, but it's that kind of, you know, you're not from New York, okay?
All right.
All right. Your phone number, website, everything, one more time.
Olive Branch Pet at yahoo.com. And 850-477-2901. Thanks, everybody. Appreciate y'all. We'll see you in a couple weeks.
All right. Dr. Mark is here with Pet Talk with Meg, and we now it's Pet Talk with Dr. Mark. Thanks so much. We're going to take a quick break here for the news, and then we'll be back right here on News Radio 92.3. Informative, local, dependable.